Our passage this morning begins with this. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat. If we recall last week, we didn't have our regular set of readings because we celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration. Had it been the regular set of readings, we would have heard the account of the multiplication, that miraculous multiplying of just those few bread and a little bit of fish that fed thousands and thousands of people, showing that Jesus has power over the natural order. And then we get to the passage today, which is why we had that beginning. But if we remember the passage we had last week on the Feast of the Transfiguration, if we recall what the voice of God the Father said, "Behold, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And so we were invited to tune our hearts, to tune our ears to the voice of God, and maybe be able to point out those competing voices that we sometimes listen to. So maybe we can do a pop quiz on that. How well did I listen to Jesus this past week? What voices was I listening to? And maybe that's the connection we can jump to for the readings this week. Listening to the voice, especially in the first reading from Kings and in our gospel, these two encounters with God, two encounters with the voice of God. This great story of Elijah, the only remaining prophet in the southern kingdom. There was a bad king at this time, and he had given himself over to the pagan idolatry. And just before this episode, Elijah had been in a battle with the other prophets. There were 450 of them. He was able to conquer, to slay them all. Because of the one true faith, the one true God was on his side. But because he did that, the king's wife was not very happy with him. She was the source of all the idolatry and infidelity that had come into the kingdom. And so she was seeking to kill this prophet. So he was on the run. He was running through the desert and he was ready to give up. And before this passage, he just tells God, "Take my life. I'm tired of running. It's not worth it." Jesus said, or God said, "Get up, eat, take the food for the journey, and then go to the mountain," which is what we pick up today. And then on that mountain, all of that chaos with the fire and the wind and the rain and the earthquake, all that turbulence in the life of this prophet, in the gospel, Jesus commanded the disciples to get into the boat. He wanted them there, and he left them. He went up to the mountain to pray amidst this crazy, raging storm. But yet, they encountered Jesus. What about us? What storms are you facing today? What chaos is swirling in your world and in your heart? And do you think that's a reason why you can't hear God's voice? Do you think that's a reason to say, "God has abandoned me? Look at all of this junk in my life"? The scriptures today tell us that's not the case. Because in fact, it was in the midst of all that chaos where God made himself known. How easily we allow ourselves to be distracted by the competing voices of this world. How often we are distracted because things aren't going according to my plan. And if God is real, then he will do it this way. And because he's not doing it this way, then there's no such thing as God. Or God doesn't love me, or God is not good. God has abandoned me. In the gospel, Jesus wanted them there. He wanted them to face that storm. And in the darkest part of the night, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning is when he passed by. And then when St. Mark's gospel tells us this account, Mark tells us that Jesus wanted them to see him passing by. He wanted this encounter. It's so important for us to know this, to understand this, because we're living in the midst of so much chaos, so much confusion. Our young people are riddled with anxiety and depression. Suicide is at the highest rate ever. And so many feel abandoned by God because of it. But he's telling us today that's not true. Do not be afraid. It is I. But if we don't train ourselves to hear the voice of God, if we don't train ourselves to listen to him, that still small voice that Elijah encountered is easily ignored. So many of us live our life drowned in noise. We fill every vacant space with something. Oftentimes it's because we are afraid of the silence. We are afraid of what comes bubbling up to the surface when we sit for just a moment. It's in those moments where the Lord wants to encounter you today. It's in those moments where the Lord comes passing by and wants us to see him. I hear very frequently from our long-term parishioners and just the random guest visitors who just pass through about what a unique experience they have as they celebrate the Holy Mass here, as they worship the one true God. That in spite of our children's choir, there's a sense of reverence here. That even before Mass and after Mass, there's a quietude around us that's not found everywhere in our neighboring parishes and in parishes across this country. It's a sign of the seriousness in which you take your faith. It's a sign of your dedication to learning and training yourself to hear God's voice. Because we know that we need silence. The devil, the enemy of our soul, knows that we need silence. Maybe that's why the world is so loud. But Holy Mother Church, in the Missal, in the instructions that tell us how to celebrate Mass, there are moments of silence that are called for. The first is before Mass. And we have a sign in the sacristy where we get prepared to remind us that inside the church and in the adjacent rooms should be silent, so we can prepare ourselves to encounter the Lord. When the priest invites us to reflect on our sins, it calls for silence. When the priest then says, "Let us pray," before the opening prayer, it calls for silence. After each reading, after the homily, Mother Church expects there to be silence here, so that the words that we hear can penetrate our hearts, so that we can hear what God's saying to us. After we receive Holy Communion, after Mass, the church expects there to be silence. It's a beautiful thing that we have here at this parish. You may not notice it, but many people do. The presence of God as he passes by each one of us is real. And I know that you desire to encounter, to hear his voice, because he desires to speak to you. In the midst of your fears and anxieties, the Lord is here. Do not be afraid, it is I. And so we pray to hear this voice, but we pray to be like Peter, to have that courage. Lord, if it's you, then okay, then let me do it too. Maybe a little imprudent in his zeal. But that's what the church needs right now. The church needs to wake up. I was listening to this bishop's talk over the weekend, and he said, so many of the cradle Catholics are still in the cradle. They need to be waking up. The church is chaotic because so many of us who claim to believe in Jesus Christ are asleep. And that we're not willing to make that bold step out of the boat to encounter Jesus in the midst of the waves. We're so easily distracted that we don't think we can do it. Or maybe so many of us are like the other disciples. And if I'm being honest, that's probably where I am. First of all, kind of snickering at Peter for trying to be the man. Who does he think he is? But then secretly being a little ashamed because I don't have that same zeal. I'm a little afraid to take that bold step in faith out of the boat, wishing that I had his courage. So many of us are that same way. Some of us are afraid to step out in faith. Some of us are afraid to make that bold declaration, if it's you, then call me out. And what did Jesus say? One simple word, come. And if we're not listening to his voice, if our heart's not tuned to him, how easily it is to miss that one simple word. And when he says come, do we go? Or do we wait for one more sign just in case I missed it? Or this isn't the right season in my life. Things are all chaotic around me. When things calm down, when things settle down, when this happens or that happens. And then we remember it's in the midst of the storm where this takes place. But it's when Peter looked at the storm, when he looked away from Jesus, when he allowed the distractions to distract him, it's when he began to sink. But even then, immediately he called out, save me. And immediately the Lord saved him. Oh, you of little faith. That's not necessarily like a castigation, a negative thing. You know, if someone's name is Bob, we call him Bobby. If someone is Tim, we call him Timmy. A little diminution, a little thing, a little term of endearment. Maybe that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. You had it. Why did you stop? Why didn't you finish it? You dads or you moms who've taught your children to ride bicycles, and as they're getting it, but then they kind of freak out and then they fall. And you say, wow, you were so close. You almost had it. It's a way of encouraging. And this is real. Our life of faith is real, and we can do amazing things. Whether we'll walk on water today or not, I don't know. But the Lord's calling to your heart today. And he's expecting you to do great and amazing things. The Lord expects bold acts of faith from his church. He expects us to wake up. That amidst the storm and the trials of life, to not feel abandoned, but to feel closer to him than we ever could imagine. Because that's where he is. Who are we listening to? What voices have we allowed into our lives? Do we have the ability to silence the noise and to hear that voice calling out to us? Last week, the Father told us, listen to him. Jesus is calling you. Can you hear his voice?